We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
We are pleased to have our pal Gary Myers on. He's a longtime Daily News sports writer, but now he's doing The GOAT, a podcast about Tom Brady. He's got the book Brady versus, you know, the other great quarterback. And, you know, it's a pleasure to have you, Gary. Haven't talked in a while. How you doing?
Good, Richard. How you doing? To complete your sentence, it's Brady versus Manning.
Manning,
you
yes.
left that part of it out. But how you doing? We haven't talked in a while.
Yeah, for sure. Well, you know, I wanted to start out with the Jets stuff, but, you know, the Brady is an obvious lead-in to what's going on this particular weekend. And the amazing thing is, you know, the capper of the weekend is going to be two quarterbacks whose total age comes out to 85 years old, a 42-year-old Drew Brees and a 43-year-old Tom Brady. And then you've got all these other matchups with these kid quarterbacks, you know, the Mahomes and, you know, the Allen and all these other guys. You know, Brady has obviously had a few really, really spectacular games and a couple of games this year where, he looked mortal. What are you looking for tomorrow night?
I think that the Saints to this point in the season have been Brady's kryptonite, and he played probably his two worst games. I mean, not probably, but for certain, his two worst games of the year against New Orleans. He threw a couple of interceptions in the first game of the year, and then when they played November 8th in Tampa, he threw three, and not only was it the worst point differential loss of his career, but it might have been the worst game I've ever seen him play. So no team, you know, they make a big deal. No team has ever beaten Brady three times in one season. Well, there's very few teams that have ever beaten Brady twice in one season. So this is new territory for him. He's playing much better than Brees at this point, and it's ever since their bye week that they've really turned it on. They had lost three or four going into their bye week, back-to-back losses, if you remember, to the Rams and Chiefs. But I think you have to keep in perspective here, Richard, even though that Brady is playing great and he seems to be in sync with his receivers, the five games that they've played coming out of that bye week, Atlanta, Detroit, Carolina, Atlanta again, and then Washington in the playoffs. Mm. You know, it's not exactly like he's playing the Saints, the Packers, and the Chiefs in that stretch. So I would be a little bit wary about trying to project, okay, he's playing great, so he's going to play great tomorrow night. But I do think, I know I'm getting my head of myself a little bit here, I do think he's going to beat, he and the Bucks will win tomorrow night, because at this point, I just think that there's like that Brady magic going again.
Yeah, and well, you got Brees magic too, but Brees obviously with the broken ribs and everything else is compromised. He's not 100%. He's not really able to throw much downfield. But I think when you said kryptonite, it's what have they figured out about Brady? I mean, obviously, the cliche is, well, you know, if you get in his face, if you put pressure on, well, that's true of any quarterback in the National Football League. Not too many quarterbacks, other than maybe Mahomes, respond very well to pressure. We saw what happened with Russell Wilson last week. So is it just that, or have they seen something, have they figured something out about Brady's MO at this stage in his career?
Well, I think that, you know, first of all, Marshawn Lattimore has always done a great job on Mike Evans, who is Tampa's best receiver, although Antonio Brown has really picked it up lately, and people forget about how great Antonio Brown was. But listen, it might be a cliche, but it's true. And I think the Giants were the first ones to expose that in Super Bowl 42 pressure up the middle on Brady has always been something he's had a tough time with because he's not mobile. And guys can step outside the pocket when the pressure comes right in their face. But Brady had the slowest 40 time for a quarterback in combine history, and that was in 2000. And trust me, he hasn't gotten any faster since then.
20 years? No.
and the Saints have a really good pass rush. So that's been it. I mean, their pressure rate on him is much higher than other teams. So I'm sure that the Bucs spent, you know, the entire week trying to figure out what they did wrong against New Orleans the first two times and how to keep Tom clean so, you know, he can find his receivers down the field. And, you know, one thing I want to say, when I said the Brady magic, and you countered by saying the Breeze magic, well, you know, during the regular season, that's true for Breeze, but you think about the three playoff games they've lost in horrific fashion the last 3 years. He's only won one Super Bowl. I think he and Sean Payton have really underachieved. So, yeah, I mean, Brady and Breeze are 1-2 in yards and touchdown passes over their career, but there's no comparison when it comes to January.
Yeah, yeah, six Super Bowls versus one. Pretty big differential
right
there. So you're leaning toward Tampa then?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of changed my mind in the middle of the week because, again, I think that the Bucs offensive coaches have got this figured out now. And not that they didn't know earlier in the year that it was imperative to protect Tom, but I think they've had enough time now to try to figure out how to counterbalance the Saints pass rush, and which I think will be the entire key to the game, because Tom's got so many weapons to pick from that it's very hard to control them if he has time. When he gets, you know, pressured, you can make any quarterback ordinary by making him get rid of the ball before they want to. And so I have to think that the Bucs coaches have figured things out, maybe keeping it back in to help, you know, making more of Gronk a pass protector rather than going out in patterns. They have enough guys, you know, going out running the routes. So I'll be really interested to see how this plays out tomorrow night.
Well, the one thing that I object to when people say, you know, oh, you can't beat a team three times in a year, and I've always pointed out, and you were there, you know, the Giants, 86, Redskins, mm-hmm. You can't beat them 3 days in a row. And that cold January day at that windy stadium when it was 17-0, and, you know, you can beat a team three times. There's no hex against that, but should be a great match. I mean, this is a great weekend. I mean, you got the Rams with their defense against the Packers and Aaron Rodgers. You got the two young quarterbacks, Baltimore and Buffalo, mm-hmm. Cleveland and Kansas City with that. I mean, it should be a terrific football weekend. I'm looking forward to it.
You know, just getting back to the beating the three times, each game is mutually exclusive. And whereas the Bucs are figuring out things about the Saints are figuring out things about the Bucs. So you learn things from past games, but the past in the NFL, when it comes to two really good teams, doesn't predict the future. So I don't think the fact that the Saints have beaten the Bucs twice means they can't beat them a third time. I don't think that by any means. I don't think one thing has anything to do with the other. As far as what you just said, I mean, it's got to make Jet fans really, really upset that three of the four quarterbacks remaining in the AFC all come from Sam Darnold's draft. You know, and only Baker Mayfield was taken ahead of them, and you know, obviously Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson, and then Patrick Mahomes, who they passed on to take Jamal Adams a few years ago. Where in the NFC, you have, you know, as Tom put it on his Twitter account, you know, the History Channel game, Breeze and Brady, and then, you know, Aaron Rodgers, who's 37, and then Jared Goff, who's the youngster of the group, who's been in the league about 5 years. So, you know, very much different group of quarterbacks in the two conferences. And, you know, I feel for Jet fans. I don't root for the Jets or the Giants or any team, but I have a lot of really good friends who are just, I put on the border of being fanatical Jet fans that live and die with them, and who were so excited when they got Sam Darnold a few years ago and thought that was going to be potentially their best quarterback since Joe Namath, and it hasn't worked out that way. And it looks like Sam will get a second chance now, because everything I'm hearing is that Robert Saleh and Mike LaFleur, who's going to be the offensive coordinator, like Sam. He's going back in the Shanahan offense, where he had more success as a rookie than he did with Adam Gase the last couple of years. So, you know, maybe the light bulb will go on for Sam, back in an offense that he seemed to be more comfortable in his rookie year.
Yeah, well, you know, I look at Garoppolo, nobody's saying, oh, great quarterback. In fact, there are questions of whether the 49ers bring him back or what they do. And yet, for three quarters in the Super Bowl, he outplayed Mahomes. So that offense, with all that motion and all that misdirection and everything else, can elevate a quarterback who may not have the great skill level into something that you know, can be successful for you. So the question would be, if the Jets don't have Fields or Trask or any of those guys rated real, real high, like, oh, can't miss guys in Trevor Lawrence territory, do they trade the pick? Do they take the offensive lineman? What do they do?
Well, clearly, you know, if they had the first pick, they would take Trevor Lawrence. I mean, nobody disputes that. But I don't put Fields or Wilson, who I think will be the second and third quarterbacks off the board in some order there. I don't put them in the category of, and I hate this term, but it's relevant these days, you know, the generational talent.
Yeah.
I think guys like Fields and Wilson kind of come along every year, and there'll be somebody like them next year. So, you know, that being said, with the Jets having two number one picks again in 2022, I would give Sam a chance in this new offense to see what you got. I mean, how horrible would it be if Sam was traded to the 49ers and he became a superstar in the offense that he could have been playing with the Jets? So they have so many needs, and they're not going to be maybe they'll be a playoff contender in 21. I mean, there's been turnarounds similar. But you have to figure that 2021 is going to be somewhat of a transition year. I would trade the pick, stay in position to get one of those receivers, whether it's Levante Smith or Jamar Chase. I don't think they need to take an offensive tackle again that high, even though it would be nice to have bookends. But I would trade down, stay in the range to take one of those receivers, see if you can pick up a high two or another number one, and build the team that way. They have so many holes and so many quality draft picks that if you can surround Sam with quality players, you know, Devontae Smith looks like he's an unstoppable receiver. You worry about his slight build, but there's been receivers like that in the NFL have been very successful. Marvin Harrison, for one. Jamar Chase, people have kind of forgotten about because he opted out of the season. But those guys are game changers, and the Jets just don't have any firepower around Sam, and they got to start giving it to him.
We're talking to Gary Myers. And, Gary, the other thing is with the hiring of Saleh, I mean, the Gase hiring was panned universally. Why did they bring him in? You know, his record with Miami, Peyton Manning likes him. That's about it. So that from the beginning was not hailed as a good move, and it turned out obviously not to be. In this case, I'm hearing no negatives about Saleh. A month ago I said that's the guy I want, but I said, what do I know? But is there anything you can look at this guy and say, I don't know about? I mean, he just seems to be universally respected, and most people love it.
Yeah, I agree. You know, on my Twitter timeline the last few days, it's been nothing but positive. And I think a lot of that has to do with how bad Gase was. And any chance he had to get the fans on his side after he was hired, because it was very negative between the time he was announced and his press conference. So any chance he had to get the Jet fans on his side, I think, you know, immediately, was hurt by that very bizarre press conference that he had. when he was introduced. It was just, boy, it was horrible. It was probably the worst introductory press conference I was ever at. And he never really recovered from that in the eyes of the fans. Mm-hmm. And then to go out and get off to such a poor start in 2019. So I think by comparison, the fans are so relieved. First of all, that Gase got fired when some of them had some doubts whether that was going to happen. And then, you know, Saleh comes from a winning program. He was with Pete Carroll before that. He's very demonstrative on the sidelines. His players love him. He comes from, you know, what had been a program. I mean, they had so many injuries this year, but a winning program. His players played really hard for him, even though that defense got decimated, especially when they played the Jets earlier in the year and they complained about the turf and they lost Nick Bosa in that game and Solomon Thomas. That defense just played hard the whole year. He's very, he's a great communicator. If anybody's watched his press conferences, he's got a great backstory. I don't know if people had a chance to do any research on him the last few days, but you know, his older brother was in the second tower on 9/11, and he was able to escape. A very similar story to Tom Coughlin's son, by the way, who also thankfully was able to escape. But and how that one incident when he thought for a while that he might lose his brother, and Robert at that point was in the finance industry, and he just had an epiphany there and said, he wasn't happy doing that. And he had been a high school and college football player, and he just decided, life is too short. I got to do something that makes me happy. I want to get into coaching. And he worked his way up from the bottom. I mean, he's a grinder.
An intern, yeah.
Yeah, and you have to admire a guy where nothing was handed to him, that he earned every promotion he got over the years. And now it pays off in his early 40s to be the head coach of the Jets. And I want to point it out, Richard. He wanted the Jets. He could have gone other place, but he developed a nice rapport in the Zoom call and then the in-person interview with Joe Douglas. You know, he wanted to work with Joe. It wasn't like he was getting shut out of these other jobs. He wanted the Jets, and the Jets wanted him. And it's not, you know, Adam Gase had no place else to go other than maybe he's an assistant coach somewhere. This guy had multiple opportunities and picked the Jets out of all the ones that were available to him. And I think at least going into it, I mean, you never know when a coordinator gets in the position that he's in charge of the entire team, but at least trying to project if this coordinator is going to be a good head coach, you'd say that he checks off all the boxes, especially the one where the Jets have been stressing they want a CEO. They want a coach of the entire team. Gase only cared about the offense. Bowles and Rex only cared about the defense. This guy's going to have his hands in everything and be the coach of the entire team.
Well, I don't know if you saw it, but there's that short video where he's kind of giving a pep talk about hiring coaches and a staff. Mm-hmm. And he's talking about guys who know more than I do in certain areas, guys mm-hmm. who compliment me, as opposed to I'm going to tell them what to do. No, they're going to help me. And that collaborative attitude that he had, which was really refreshing.
I mean, this is not an easy job. It's not a one-man job coaching an NFL team. And when I first started covering this, each head coach had maybe 12 assistants. And that number is pretty much doubled over the last couple of decades. There's so much to get done, and you want your assistants to know more about their area of expertise than you do. Now, he's a really good defensive coach, and I think one of the positive things about him is having gone against Kyle Shanahan's offense for 4 years in practice. And he impresses me as the kind of guy that there had to be so many opportunities over the last 4 years that he sat down with Kyle and picked his brain about offensive schemes and then going out and trying to stop them in practice. That's all positive stuff that he's going to bring to the Jets, because the Shanahan offense is kind of the state-of-the-art offense now. You know, Kyle and then Mike in Denver and Washington to a certain extent, it always almost like whatever running back you plugged into that offense got 1,400 yards because their running scheme was so good. And Kyle's offense in the passing game has a lot of the West Coast concepts. So that stuff has been very successful. in the NFL, and especially recently. And so it's just a question how, if I'm getting the right players to fit that scheme. And, you know, Michael Flohr is a younger brother of Matt. Matt was the best man at Robert Saleh's wedding. So that's a very close relationship there. And it's just a lot of good stuff where you think if it can transition and translate over to the Jets, that it shouldn't be that long before the Jets fans, you know, are proud of their team and looking forward to going to the games. And on the Monday morning, you're not all hearing all the misery on shows like yours.
Yeah, yeah. You know, the other guy that looks like he's going to get the Detroit job, Dan Campbell, who we covered mm-hmm. as a tight end for the Giants. And I was always impressed talking to him with his intelligence and football knowledge and acumen and all of that. So I'm glad he's finally getting a chance, because a couple of years ago, he seemed to be the next bright guy. And it you know, he got the assistant job in New Orleans and, you know, it hasn't really been that. So this good opportunity for him.
You know, it's funny that when you say that, recalling the Giant days, rather, he was a great babysitter for Jeremy Shockey early in his career. Yeah. That he and believe me, Shockey needed a babysitter. Dan really tried to mentor Shockey, and he did a good job there for a couple of years. He has Parcells on his resume. I mean, he was never an assistant coach for Parcells, but he played for Bill in Dallas, and then he wound up on Miami staff when Bill was there as the GM or the VP of football operations in Miami, and then he's been with Sean Payton. So, you know, coming from the Parcells Payton tree, there's nothing bad you can really say about that. I thought he might have been a head coach a couple of years ago, and, you know, it didn't work out. But I think he'll do a good job in Detroit. But Detroit, like the Jets, is looked at somewhat as it almost doesn't matter who you bring in, they can't win, isn't true, obviously. But
look at Cleveland. You know, Cleveland was
exactly. You know, so I think that there's always hope. When you keep picking high, and if you can make some good free agent signings, you can turn this stuff around. But I think this is a cliche, but it's really true. You got to have a coach, and you got to have a quarterback. And when you have those two pieces in place, then it's just a matter of filling it in with the right parts, you know, in the key spots. But if you don't have the coach and you don't have the quarterback, you have no chance. And, you know, for a team like the Jets, we'll see if they have the coach. It seems like they hired the right guy. Until we see what he does, we don't know for sure. And obviously, we don't know about Sam. Everybody felt a lot better about Sam on the day that he got drafted than they do today because of what he's done for 3 years. But I really want to give him the benefit of the doubt, because the coaching the last 2 years was so horrific. And there isn't a skill position on that position player on that team that could start for any other team. And maybe they got the start of something good with Mims, and you know, Crowder is an excellent slot receiver, so there's two pieces there. You get a number one receiver and every down back and another offensive lineman, which all can be accomplished in this offseason, and maybe Sam has a chance to succeed.
Good stuff, Gary. As always, appreciate you coming on. We'll talk again soon. Thank you.
Yeah, and if I can just mention people who are interested in listening to my podcast, The Goat Tom Brady, you can, you know, pick it up on anywhere you get the podcast, Apple, et cetera. It's available everywhere, and it was good to talk to you.
Great. Gary Myers.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the pitch, hit, and run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.